RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So yesterday morning here at RCR, we had Judith Collins, the Science, Innovation and Technology Minister, on talking about, well, depends on if it is passed eventually, allowing GE out of the lab and into the environment. That was one thing. But I also got the opportunity, and I used it, to ask her about NIWA, referencing Ian Wishart's pieces in Centrist. And if you've been listening to RCR for a while, you'll know about those because we've talked to Ian quite a few times leading up to now. Ian Wishart, investigative journalist, is back with us. Hi, Ian. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so what did you make of what Judith Collins had to say? And mainly, you know, obviously I referenced the detail that you've given us and our listeners over the time. Re-NIWA, your off-the-top-of-the-head kind of impression to start.
Well, I almost sprayed coffee all over my computer keyboard as I was listening. It was not only one of the best interviews I've heard this year, but it was also hilarious. The stage when she invoked fighting Hitler and the Hun as a reason for having records of the 1941 or 1953 flood events in Hawke's Bay was just stellar radio. It really was. I think what that interview illustrates is that the minister is not up to brief on this and she's not on top of her game.
I wonder how we explain that. She may have thought that, hey, it's RCR, they're kind of crazy, this should be an easy ride. Or, again, there's some hallowed status that NIWA has where no one can criticize them, question them. It pays to be kind of ignorant about what they do. What are your thoughts?
Well, you have to wonder what the NIWA satellites are focusing on, whether they have hidden secrets of all their politicians. But seriously, the reality of this is that Judith Collins and the government have been taking some heat for a couple of days now on this. She knows that at any moment in time, any journalist, theoretically, can jump out of a bush and question her about the NIWA missing data and the Centrist stories. So she should have been prepared and up to brief. And her office, to be fair, as I've just released in an open letter yesterday, was warned on July 24th when the Gabriel Flood Review came out that the Flood Review contained some damning criticism of NIWA and its systemic failures. And we put that to her office for comment, including explicitly the 1941 and 1953 floods, something that you questioned her on, and that she seemed so surprised to hear about. Email was sent to Judith Collins directly and to her media staff. For her not to have an answer at her fingertips for you when you asked her the question yesterday was, in my view, outrageous. It shows that she hasn't read the evidence, she hasn't been briefed, she hasn't bothered to read the report into the deaths of 11 people caused by systemic failures in part by NIWA. So this is escalated into a real problem for Judith Collins when it didn't have to be.
I thought it was quite clever to pull the war references out. If that was just off the top of your head, I wouldn't have thought of those, I've got to say.
Star Trek, invasion by aliens, who knows?
Yeah, media strike.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the point that grinds my gears, and I'm sure a lot of others, is you can bat it off like it's nothing, but 11 people died, man.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, there are parts of that interview that, as I said, are hilarious, but it's actually a very tragic subject, and New Zealanders should be outraged that our minister is not up to brief on this and not able to comment on it intelligently. The reality is that NIWA was caught napping by the Gabriel flood. They'd used their existing main computer database, which only goes back to 1960 in that area, to do the planning and research for flood preparation. It had therefore missed a whole bunch of floods earlier in the piece, back to 1893. And that's the problem, is that not knowing the history meant that they weren't prepared for what happened. And that's where they've gone wrong.
So, Ian, she should have known something about the lack of data coming out of the inquiry, the look into the flood response, which we've known about for a week or two already.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. Essentially, on the 24th of July, which is the day that the Gabriel Flood Inquiry Report came out, I emailed Judith Collins directly and her press team and also other National Party politicians and government politicians seeking comment on the Gabriel Flood Inquiry Report. And what that report said was that, as we've discussed previously, is that systemic failures meant that NIWA and Hawke's Bay Regional Council had failed to account for historic floods before 1960. in the Hawke's Bay region, which meant that their planning for big events was underestimating the risk of big events. They weren't building to the right standard, and they weren't preparing civil defence plans to the right standard, and therefore that essentially the flood report said the loss of 11 lives could have been avoided perhaps if they'd done their homework properly, which is a pretty damning indictment of a New Zealand government agency. If you look back at, say, Cave Creek in 1995, 14 people died in that when dock viewing platform collapsed. So we have a tradition of holding government agencies accountable for when they fail in systemic errors. And we do that in order to learn from those errors and to improve on them. In this case, we now find, after your interview with Judith Collins yesterday morning, she expressed absolute surprise at 1941 and 1953. She didn't know what the dates meant. She'd had no clue, listening to the interview, as to the relevance of those dates. And you had to explain to her there were missing floods in the NIWA data that had not been included in the Hawke's Bay flood analysis, and that if they'd been there, it might have been a different outcome in terms of planning. Her response was to say, well, it was the war in both cases, the World War II and the Korean War, 1953.
There was no one here. They were all off at the war. No one here to record that.
Which was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the fact is the inquiry found the 1941 and 53 references published, and that's why they referred to them, because they found them themselves. So the scandal, however, is that this information was explicitly sent to Judith Collins directly on the 24th of July and her media team, and they were asked to comment on those specific allegations, the 1941 and 1953 missing floods. So for her to turn up 2.5, 3 weeks later on your radio show and be genuinely surprised at 1941 and 53 means that she didn't read the flood report, which, as the Minister of Science in charge of NIWA, is staggering, because the report is critical of NIWA, and that she hasn't read the evidence presented to her. And then she had the chutzpah to, on your show, say Ian Wishart hasn't fronted up with the evidence.
Yeah, she said that. Yeah, I know you did.
But she didn't read it, just the same as NIWA in debunking or trying to debunk Climate of Fear last year, assured the minister at the time, Aisha Verrill, there was nothing in Climate of Fear, and they hadn't actually read that report either. It seems to be a consistent systemic failure by this organisation and its officials not to actually read evidence and to just continue being legends in their own lunchtime, listening to their own opinions. Now, Minister Collins was obviously, in your questioning of her yesterday, not up to brief at all. She was floundering. And that, in a sense, is a serious indictment on her position as a minister, in my view, because, you know, you expect your ministers to be up to speed. She could have been asked a question about the centrist stories at any moment by a reporter jumping out of a bush, unlikely as that may be with the mainstream media, because they don't like to ask hard questions, but the possibility was always there. So she should have known the answers. The fact that she hasn't read the Gabriel Flood report, the fact that she hadn't read the evidence we'd presented to her for comment, and the fact that she purported to offer comment on what we'd presented even though she hadn't read it, it's just unbelievable. It's like Alice in Wonderland. It is the most extreme example of gaslighting I've had since NIWA failed to read Climate of Fear and then tell everyone they'd read it. It's just incredible.
Just putting a few things together, your reporting, I've also talked to Philip Duncan, who's had a bit of form in the past with NIWA, trying to get answers from them. And, of course, he's professionally involved because he has a weather forecasting service, and they are competition. And he rightly points out that it's kind of odd to have two weather forecasting entities under government ownership that compete against each other. But also the sort of willful ignoring of issues surrounding NIWA. You heard that maybe from Judith Collins. Philip Duncan's reported that. He's asked many officials questions. They never answer. The management of NIWA never fronts up. Now they have a new supercomputer that they're boasting about. Okay, my conspiracy brain tells me there's something about NIWA that just doesn't make sense, Ian. Do you share that?
Yeah. The new supercomputer just simply allows them to make mistakes 3 times faster. Okay. That's one of the lines. That's one of the lines I saw on Twitter yesterday. And yes, a very apt one that it is exactly that. Garbage in, garbage out. You know, the failing, you hit upon it yesterday when you said to Judith Collins, essentially it boils down to this. what good is NIWA if they don't have all the historical data and current data in one place that they can drag up at a moment's notice and say, here's an incoming cyclone or storm. This is what that region has experienced in the past. This is how bad it can get. This is what we need to do. They can't do that because their main climate database that Judith Collins is so proud of is a dog's breakfast. And in the Hawke's Bay, it didn't go back before 1960. Well, there were about eight floods between 1893 and 1960 that they missed. And all of them, or a large number of them, were bigger than Gabriel. So the issue is, how does that impact on NIWA's research in other areas around New Zealand? People listening to this in Northland and Westland, Canterbury, Hutt Valley, basically anywhere where there's low-lying land is susceptible to flood. If NIWA's research on the Hawke's Bay region with known massive floods is so shonky that it caused billions of dollars worth of property damage and allegedly was a contributing factor to the deaths of 11 people, including a baby. If their research is so bad in that regard, are we really expecting to be much better anywhere else? What other time bombs are waiting down the traps for us? That's the problem. And that's the question people should be asking, because local councils are relying on NIWA or other agencies to do climate research. And NIWA's climate research is degrade, in my view. It is absolutely shocking. The Gabriel Hawke's Bay response was a disaster that didn't need to happen. Sure, you can't stop a storm from coming in. You can't stop it from dumping large amounts of rain. But you can have institutional knowledge in place that says, we've had floods that have raised the river levels by 16 metres in the past, and pretty rapidly. In fact, we've had the same amount of rain that Gabriel dropped in a couple of days has been dropped in about 9 hours in the Hawke's Bay. So there can be basically effectively twice the level of rainfall that they experienced in Gabriel. So it has a history, and they've forgotten the history. It's basic. And for Judith Collins to be dodging that, not be up to brief, not able to answer questions, and to show contempt to the people of Hawke's Bay by not even reading the flood report that says NIWA had a systemic failure, I think it raises major questions. I mean, I don't want to be the person sitting here begging Judith Collins for the sake of begging Judith Collins. We gave her every opportunity to comment. We gave her information in advance of publication seeking comment on the specific allegations. That was her chance to read the evidence. That was her chance to say to NIWA, you're not telling me the truth. You know, I mean, essentially it boils down to this. She made a statement. This is what's in the Centrist story. If you go to the Centrist website and read it, Judith Collins makes two statements. One, she says no historical records are missing. That's categorical statement one. And clearly that's wrong because the flood inquiry is showing that. And we know it anyway because I've proven it in other stories. Number two, she said Wishart is confusing two databases. He's talking about the historic weather events database, but NIWA scientists only use the National Climate Database, CLIFLOW. They do not use historic weather events database for climate analysis or trends or extreme weather event forecasting or frequency analysis. So she says categorically, NIWA scientists, and in fact she says global scientists are not using it either. Nobody, she says, is using the historic weather events database for climate risk analysis. Oh. So then when you read the Centrist story, you'll see that there are dozens of scientific studies, including from NIWA itself, including from the Ministry of Primary Industries, including from the Department of Conservation, including from the Journal of the American Meteorology Society. All around the world, there are studies that are quoting NIWA's historic weather events.
Oh, man, the left and the right hand don't know what they're doing, or they're just full of BS.
Well, it's BS. It's gaslighting. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
And to face that level of essentially lying, in my view, from a government agency is just staggering. I mean, the reality is climate researchers all around the world are relying on the historic weather events database. And the weather events database, the historic one, is still missing historic storms. And that was the point of my coverage for the last year. You know, if you're going to have these databases, have the data in them. But the data's missing. And that's what's the risk. Because we're looking at spending hundreds of billions of dollars in climate adaptation as a country. That's enormous amounts of taxes for you, me, and everyone else here living here and listening to this. And you'd expect the officials to have the energy to want to get it right. But no, we have a minister in charge of everywhere who just is washing a hand to it.
That's what I was alluding to before, you know, about their function primarily, because, you know, worst case, computer modeling so far has driven a lot of the alarmism around coastal adaptation and managed retreat. And it's based on computer modeling. And that's like a front for this effort, let's say. So, you know, what are they really there to do?
Well, to give you an example, NIWA said in its flood risk analysis that an event like Gabriel is a 1 in 1,000 year event.
1 in 1,000, yeah.
1 in 1,000 year event. And councils are required to plan for a 1 in 500 year event. Okay, so a much lower level. In actual fact, what the Gabriel flood inquiry found is that when the historic records are taken into account, the Gabriel flood might in fact be a 1 in 50 year event.
Yeah.
But that's the level of incompetence from NIWA.
That's the level of incompetence.
That is, it's huge. And that's the level of incompetence that Judith Collins is defending. I mean, I, as I said, I published yesterday an open letter on Facebook to Judith Collins and her press team. And I said to them, I reminded them of a comment I made in one of the emails after they initially tried to defend NIWA's position. And I said then that this could be the first case of a ministerial ship choosing to go down with sinking rats. This is exactly what seems to be happening. The minister has all the powers at her disposal to say to NIWA, you misled me and through me the New Zealand people. There needs to be accountability, but she's not doing that. She's prepared to die in a ditch with them.
You know, that's what I don't get. This is what I don't get.
Well, yeah, but that as you said, that does raise questions about, you know, what hold NIWA has over the public. I mean, I just got a text from Chris Hipkins, Chief Press Secretary, and she said, thank you for the opportunity to comment, but we're going to sit this one out. I mean, this is a slam dunk for Labour. Here you have a senior National Party minister, National Government minister, on the ropes with an interview like that from yesterday, and Labour doesn't want to get stuck into it. What country are we living in now where both the doesn't matter what party you vote for, you get tweedledum and tweedledummer? It's just incredible.
Yeah, it is. And I was thinking also, and I know, you know, your history in journalism, you'll be able to rattle off infinitum, you know, the major stories that you've been involved in that you remember. I'm into planes and plane crashes. I can tell you all the air disasters going back. Presumably, people in NIWA are into weather. I would expect there to be just top-of-the-head knowledge of these events, if you're worth your salt.
Well, you'd expect it, but it's just not there. I mean, I think they're relying so much on their limited instrumental records that they have. As I said, it varies from district to district, but in some places in the Hawke's Bay, the NIWA records only go back to 1987. 1987, for heaven's sake. They couldn't predict before that. I mean, it's just laziness. As I pointed out a year and a half ago, the information can be backfilled from old newspaper reports, and other climate agencies around the world are now doing that. They're looking to fill their gaps with stuff from old newspaper reports.
But wouldn't you be curious, just professionally curious, to do that anyway?
Well, of course you would. And to be fair to NIWA, sometimes they do. I mean, the reality is they discovered, in inverted commas, the New Zealand's coldest day in Ranfurly purely by reading the paper's past website. They didn't know it from their own records. They just didn't know it. And so the scientists who found it said it was like discovering treasure. Well, that's what my job was like when I was researching through the paper's past website, because I was seeing all the stuff that wasn't in the NIWA's database. And suddenly it fills the picture much, much better. So, you know, it again comes back down to people continuing to share this, continuing to discuss it, continuing to jump on Facebook and Twitter every time a political party or a media organization makes a comment about climate or NIWA, and just saying, hey, what about the missing data in the Gabriel flood, and why did the minister mislead the public? Why did NIWA mislead the minister? All those questions, they're all open now because the minister is still standing by the sinking ship.
Do you think they know about the Waihini storm? You wonder.
You'd have to wonder. They'd probably think that Goebbels was involved.
Yeah. Was there a war on? Vietnam War.
Yeah.
68. Yeah, I guess it was. All right, Ian, any final words before we end this chat? But it won't be the last, I know that.
No, as I said, I encourage everybody to spread the word in their own networks of the interview you did with Judith Collins yesterday. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if people want change, if people want accountability, they're not going to get it from the mainstream media, because the mainstream media are part of the problem. And it's clear that the political parties are in lockstep in protecting their way. So the only thing that's going to make a difference here is people power. And if you can force this issue to become intolerable for the administration in power, only then will you see change. So I invite people to share these interviews far and wide and share the centrist story far and wide. And just don't stop. Don't forget it and let it become just tomorrow's fish and chip paper. It's still a current issue until the issue is solved. And the reality is everybody who owns a house, everybody who rents a house in a floodplain like Henderson and Auckland has a stake in this, because the weather could come for us at any time. And if our research, if our government, NIWA and council research is this bad, then when you buy your house or you rent your house, you may be putting your life in danger because they don't know how bad it's been in the past. This needs to be solved.
I want to thank you, Ian, for your work, because your information has empowered us to do what we did, and we wouldn't have been able to do that without the work you've done. So thank you for that.
All the best. And as I said, that interview with Judith Collins was a classic for all. If I could stick it up in my wall, I would.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for that. All right, Ian, thanks for coming back on, and let's see what happens next, shall we?
Indeed. All the best.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.